Well, welcome everybody to our daily podcast here at Christian Center's Report. Pastor Tim Karskett, so glad you're with us. We are in Feast Week. We're in the Passover week. And the scripture talks about the next feast, which was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What is that about? Is it just about matzah? Let's talk about that today.
Pray for peace, Jerusalem, city of our God. Their salvation was poured out for you, the atoning of the Lord. Once your streets filled with joy, branches raised up high.
Well, we have crossed over Passover as a story of Moses. We learned that where they crossing the Red Sea. And we're going to talk about what the Unleavened Bread Feast is about today. So welcome. It's 24th day. It's Wednesday, 2024, April. So glad you're with us, and we had an amazing Passover yesterday. I hope you did. I hope you enjoyed your time with your family or however you chose to celebrate that day. I know it was a prophetic timetable. We've been talking about it through a lot of the prophets and the words we've had as well, but let me remind you, the prophetic is, as of right now, Passover 2024, there's a two-year period here where the Lord is measuring nations, he's measuring individuals. It's going to be a two-year testing of where our heart stands concerning the covenants of God. Where do you stand with Israel? Where do you stand with the Jewish people? Where do you stand with the covenant promises of God? And accordingly, after 2 years, there's going to be a release of a judgment either for or against those who are either in covenant or not in covenant. I just want to say we crossed over some timeline yesterday, having encounters already with the Lord speaking to me and speaking to us about what this timetable is going to look like. Lots of clarity is coming right now from the Lord concerning this. So let's talk about this. In the Feast of Passover, when we read it in Exodus, it talks about on the 14th day of Nisan, you celebrate Passover. But then it says, then the next day you start the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. Now we call Passover or the Passover season, we combine those two because it's the same story basically, because Jesus is our, you know, the unleavened bread. He's without sin, but it speaks to us. And I want to speak to that today and what it represents to us when we look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What does it mean? That we have matzah bread with no yeast, you know, no yeast of the Pharisees in it, no yeast of sin in it. That's what it speaks of. And so you have to kind of go through that. We were in Israel once during Passover, and it was rough, man. For us who love bread, we had to eat crackers all week, and we didn't know that. We were young in the Lord, and as far as a understanding of the Jewish culture, when we went there, we didn't know why they weren't serving us bread. We found out real quickly why. But what does it mean? And it's obviously it's a reminder of the swift exodus of Egypt. Remember, he said they didn't have time to bake the bread. They, with yeast in it, they had to hurry and get out. There's no time for it to rise, and so there was just one small problem, and that's with the explanation. So we want to understand that. See, God first spoke to Moses about the plans for the Passover in Exodus 12:1-5. He says, tell the congregation on the 10th day, just like I said there, they must watch over to the 14th day, the whole assembly and the congregation of Israel slaughter it at midnight, at twilight, I should say. So incidentally, twilight slaughter of sacrificial Passover lambs is still practiced by the Samaritan people. When you go to Israel in the northern part of north of Jerusalem in the Samaria, they still do this on Mount Gerizim, even to this day. But back to the point, okay. God presumably gives instruction at the beginning of the month and says, in this month, It'll be at least before the 10th of the month, since that is a date that God tells Moses that everyone had to choose a lamb. Now, we know Jesus is our lamb. I'll get to that in a minute. Then we'll have to kill it on the 14th. So even if God tells Moses all this on the 9th, that's still 5 days until Passover. Why did he not have enough time to let the bread rise? There's the question, right? Verse 39 states that they baked matzah cakes from the dough that they had brought out of Egypt, and they had no leaven hamatz because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not delay, and they had not made provisions for themselves. But if they knew it would be a rush, surely they could have started baking bread process a lot. It doesn't make sense, right? So it's very likely that this speaks symbolically of haste. So the eating of unleavened bread is a reminder of the haste in which our forefathers left Egypt, but it's a powerful symbol that helps us bring this story alive today to where we are in the very houses we live in today. So haste is not only an issue of the unleavened bread business. In fact, it's imperative to get rid of the hamatz. So in other words, get rid of the leaven, to make it quite clear throughout the rest of the chapter. It says, during the first month and even the 14th day of the month, you are to eat matzah, unleavened bread, until the evening of the 21st day of the month. For 7 days, no leaven should be found in your houses. For whoever eats leaven, their soul will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an outsider or one born in the land. You are to eat no leaven. In all your houses, you are to eat matzah. That's in verses 18 through 20. So, and it's a little bit confusing, I get this, but as to what God is getting to, the removal of leaven is so important, as in the cases of many times in Scripture, the New Testament gives us the light that really helps us understand this. In 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, we see this leaven is related to sin, particularly the sin of pride. And he says here, your boasting is no good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole bunch of dough? Get rid of the leaven, that you may make a new batch, just as you are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. So we're called to celebrate, not with the old leaven, or the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread, the matzah of sincerity and truth. The idea of being puffed up with pride is also mentioned later in 1 Corinthians 4:18, 8:1, Romans 11. The symbolism is really clear. Risen bread puffed up with leaven is reminiscent of sinful pride. And unleavened matzah bread is humble, simple, and pure. There you go. Because there's enough leaven just in the air to have an effect on dough. Special efforts have to be taken to prevent it from actually rising. So the bread has lines scored. You know, if you've seen matzah bread, it has the lines and the holes pierced through it to help it to stay low. Get this? And that reminds us of how Jesus was humble. He was pure. He was sinless. He was striped. He was pierced. And he gave his own life as the ultimate Passover sacrifice. Another fact I like about this is concerning the matzah bread as a Passover meal. And we did this with our kids, the Afikomen. And you've heard of this. They developed the time of Yeshua in the Roman times. And it's a Greek word meant for sweet, in which comes after. It's inspired by many customs. But you'll see this. The children, they'll hide a piece which is redeemed as a sweet treat. You give it back to them and your parents, and you get it back. And it speaks of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Son being taken out, broken, hidden for a while, the 3 days, right? Bringing redemption, the sweetest reward you'll ever know, eternal life, resurrection, power. That's what it means. So it is the bread of remembrance, right? That's what it talks about in this passage here. Let me say this about this bread. Unlike the flat matzah bread, no amount of stripes and piercings could, in a sense, hold Jesus down, right? There's no pride in him at all. But what happened? He rose again. He lifted his right hand. He's lifted to the right hand of the Father, and he's now in glory. He's exalted higher than any other name. Because of why? Because of the incredible sacrifice he made for you and I. He was the unleavened bread. He set us free from slavery, from sin and death. He gives us a chance to remove the pride of our own life. I want you to catch this. So the bread of his presence, let's talk about that for a minute. So at the Passover meal, part of the ceremony is to eat the matzah bread together and remind each other by saying this. This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in Egypt. So that symbolizes affliction and slavery and the lack of luxury. Now, our rabbi talked about that yesterday on our podcast. But it's designed along with the whole Passover meal to help children of Israel to remember. And we can do this for our kids too, to reenact the Passover event year after year. And each generation gets to tell the story to the next generation. This is very important because Moses was always about life. He wasn't about going back and focusing on the death of the people, the sorrow, the affliction, but to remember that Christ, through Jesus, through our Lord, through the Father at that time, released them and had them move out. So it was an issue of remembering what God had done for them and rescuing them from death, from slavery and death. Remember, it says in Psalms 103, forget none of his benefits. So in time, Jesus would hold the same Passover matzah bread and say to his followers, not this is the bread of affliction of our fathers of Egypt, but he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, isn't that interesting? So he ties his body to the affliction that the fathers ate in Egypt. So now he becomes afflicted, broken for you and I. So when we do it, we don't remember just what happened in the days of Moses in Egypt. We remember what he did and how he was broken, how he was striped, how he was pierced, how there was no sin in him. God did not allow. He let the suffering saint of Jesus, the suffering servant, I should say, Jesus, go to this place and die. It's no coincidence that his death was at the time of Passover. There's no doubt that that's when the sacrifice had to happen. For the whole redemption story was a picture of a greater redemption to come, planned by some great composer in heaven, Jesus the Father, who orchestrated the miraculous Exodus. So Exodus was the precursor or the story of the coming of Messiah. It prophesied that he was coming. And as we were reading that story in Exodus 12, you see there that everybody gets to come in. I like it because we talked about it yesterday, that even the foreigner, if they allow God to circumcise their heart, they get to be a part and have all the benefits. Now, I wanted to share a prophetic encounter I had on Passover, but I have not been released by the Lord to do that. I'll just say this about it. God wants to remove every obstacle in our life that says we are not worthy of all the benefits that he died for. The unleavened bread is a testimony that he did not have any sin and that his sacrifice removes the sting of death and removes all the power of affliction to take the power of it away and always respond to it with the power of resurrection. So we're told to celebrate this feast, especially in 1 Corinthians 5. This is a big one he wants to celebrate because we need to remember he was the one without sin so that we have the power to overcome sin. Because when he died, he imparted to us the strength we need to overcome. Yes, we have pride. Yes, we have arrogance. Yes, we get puffed up. But guess what? He died so that we can deal with that pride, that arrogance, being puffed up. Because he chose not to be. He gave the authority to us. He spoke to the enemy, the devil, and said, yes, this is a sin of man, but I died for that sin, and my death and my resurrection gives my people the authority to overcome it. They will not walk in pride all the days of their life. They will not be puffed up and arrogant all the days of life. If they apply the work of the cross and let the cross work in them, and what can happen, the redemption and sanctification of their lives is such a place that they too can live like one who died for us, that unleavened bread, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. All right. I hope that encouraged you. I want to just give insights, prophetic insights to what Passover and unleavened bread is. So we're in that 7 days. Let's press in during these 7 days and say, Lord, is there any arrogance, pride in me? Thank you that you died, that it could be removed. Father, I pray for everybody here today that you would help them remove any arrogance, any pride, any area of their life that are puffed up, that has snuck into their life. Thank you for dying for that, Lord. And you are our unleavened bread. You are the unleavened feast that we celebrate today and for the next 7 days. In the name of Yeshua, amen, amen. All right, come back tomorrow. See you. Listening today and each and every day here on this podcast, don't forget, we're in our season of first fruits now as this Passover week starts. If you'll go back to our YouTube or Facebook pages, several weeks ago, did a message on first fruits. You can type that in the YouTube search there, Christian Center Shreveport, first fruits. You can see our message about that. And there's other messages there we've done as well. We're taking up our offering. Seek the Lord if you want to participate with us in this, and you can send it through our app or our website, ChristianCentersReport.com. Ask the Lord for a mountain. So, and then several weeks from now, we're going to pray over everybody's offering, wave it before the Lord, and pray for a blessing on your crop this entire year. All right. Bless you today.